let me just quickly say, what's happening? Okay, let's just give it another 5 minutes or so. The staff, I've requested them to do a couple of technical changes, you know, language construction and that kind of thing. You'll see for yourself technical changes to the report, so let them just finish because I sent it to them quite late, and I thought it I'm sure some of you might have made those changes yourself. So let's just give them some 5 minutes or so, and we'll then start. Yeah, please. Please.
Chairperson, I just wanted to introduce myself, Jordan Hill Lewis. I'm a member in DTI. I'm just attending as the DA's alternate member today.
Thanks. Thanks so much. What I'll do is I'll take you through some of the changes. I'll take you through the changes so that we can identify them quickly. Okay. Order. Good morning. Once again, honorable members and guests that we have here today. Welcome once again to you, honorable members, and to the members from IFP and DA who've joined us today. Welcome. Let me perhaps just flag two issues with you quickly. One is really the obtaining situation in Nigeria and the carnage afflicting that country at the moment, primarily at the hands of a terrorist organization, Boko Haram, who are seeking to destroy the most populous country on the African continent. And indeed, an organization that has nothing positive to contribute to Africa's regeneration, peace and stability. We, I think, correctly must express our horror and condemnation at the mass killings that are taking place there. Nigeria, needless to say, honorable members, is a very, very important country in Africa. Nigeria has, you know, after having gone through their own difficulties for many years since independence, has itself you know, found some level of stability, democracy, and so on. And indeed, is in the process of you know, rebuilding itself. And for it to be afflicted in the manner that it is today is a worrying factor. we must always keep the Nigerian people in our prayers, keep them in our minds during these difficult times. The other matter, of course, is the Benin situation in the Central African Republic. Especially perhaps note how the situation has morphed from what was essentially a rebel war against a legitimate government into a religious sectarian civil strife that is tearing Central African Republic apart. In that respect, we should also keep those citizens in our prayers, and I think as an African continent, help them as far as we can, bring about stability and some semblance of peace back to the Central African Republic. And then lastly, the developing situation in the Ukraine. Now, firstly, it came to my attention that there's in Donetsk, there's a young South African almost trapped. He's a university student at the University of Donetsk. In fact, he's an exchange student from the University of the Free State. We are trying together with the department to see what consular services could be extended to him, especially because our embassy and consulate are in Kiev, and indeed there are difficulties in moving around, especially with the closure of airports as well and so on and so on. But our department is doing its best to try to engage with that. There might also be other South Africans, and there probably are other South Africans. South Africans are among the most widely traveled people. You will find them in the most difficult or in the most remote countries, especially those where there are difficulties. Well, in this situation, of course, it was in this case it was different. I mean, nobody would have imagined some months ago, weeks ago, that the situation would develop in the manner that it did. But in my mind, honourable members, it is a classical example of how not to interfere in the affairs of other countries, both on the side of the US, the EU, and to perhaps a little bit, a lesser extent, the Russian Federation, and I will tell you why. And I'm not absolving them from any culpability. All I'm saying is Ukraine is a country that borders Russia. And given the history of Eastern Europe, and in particular Russia, it is a given that Russia would have direct national interests vested in Ukraine, and would, in that event, be affected in more directly than any other country outside of that. And so those developments, especially with such a huge Russian population based in Ukraine, it is just a natural consequence that Russia would have a more direct interest in what is happening there. Even so, the current signs of military escalation are indeed a worrying factor. We hope that Russia and the Ukraine in particular can sit down and find a diplomatic solution to those issues. But perhaps more interestingly is the other game that is playing itself out in that situation. It was interesting to look at media reports, Honorable De Groot, you know, across a wide spectrum, you know, from pro-Russian to pro-Ukrainian to pro-Western, in the political sense of the word Western. And you see the vastly varying reports on the Ukrainian matter. In fact, so much so that CNN 2 days ago claimed that there are tanks, Russian tanks, and actually they had aerial photos of those Russian tanks in Crimea. Now, it emerged yesterday that no, those tanks aren't in Crimea. Those tanks are in Russia, in fact, a couple of thousand kilometers away. They are basically military exercise there. I'm just saying it's indicative of the interests that are at play and how this is reflected in media reports. But ultimately, it is the Ukrainian people that will suffer, or that are indeed suffering at the moment. And so whatever they do, they must do in a manner that seeks to resolve the situation and find a diplomatic solution to the crisis there. I thought I should perhaps just make those comments on those three issues. They are not the only and perhaps not the most important, but they are important enough. Now, honorable members, I have not received a letter that tells me about any apologies, so I assume there are no apologies. Are there?
Okay. Sorry, the Honorable Elo is ready to make you.
Yeah, but I haven't received anything.
Okay.
I haven't received anything, honorable members. Where's Mr. Scuola? Okay. That's fine. I just wanted to check with him whether there was any this thing. Now, so for now, there are no apologies. If Mr. Scuola were to produce some apology, I'll inform you about it. Honorable members, we now come to the vexed issue of the adoption of the report on the Solidarity Conference on Palestine, Western Sahara, and Cuba. Now, let me state this from the very outset, that I know there are vested interests in this matter. We've undertaken a long, drawn-out process of a little under 4 years to engage extensively on this matter. We have given members of the public organizations, you know, all types of sectoral organizations, the opportunity to contribute. And at the end of, indeed in September last year, we then took, having listened to everybody, finally made up our minds and took a decision at the committee, which with recommendations to the House, which were then subsequently adopted by the House. May I also perhaps add that there was one dissent registered by the African Christian Democratic Party who did not agree with the report and its contents, and in particular the recommendations. But the rest of us, at least the rest of the other political parties, agreed with the House resolutions at least with the recommendations that eventually became House resolutions. Now, following that, we then had this conference, engaging again on the three matters of Western Sahara, Cuba, and Palestine. Now, I want to make it clear again, like I did in other meetings. I know this is an emotive issue for people on both sides of the divide, on both sides of the debate. But you've had your opportunity to say something. The committee has deliberated and taken its decisions. They were adopted by the House. We are dealing with another report now following that event. I will request all of you, firstly our guests, you are not allowed to participate in this meeting, whether directly or indirectly. But also to remind you to maintain the decorum of the House, so that even if you disagree, or even if you agree, that you keep your opinions to yourself. So please, members, let's turn to the report now. Now, I want to just point out to you the corrections that were made, so that we are on the same page. On page two, the name of Honorable M. Biskosana was removed. He didn't attend. Okay. On page three, right at the top, the first line there, it read, with regard to Cuba, the challenge was stated as the U.S. economic sanctions against Cuba and for the release of the Cuban five incarcerated in American jails. That was changed because the challenge wasn't the release of the Cuban five, it was the incarceration of the Cuban five. So the change was just made there, against Cuba and for the release were removed, and the word inserted was incarceration of the Cuban five. So really it's just a language issue there. On page four, the second paragraph there, right at the bottom of the second paragraph, in spreading information about issues like Palestine, issues like was removed, and on the last page, the last paragraph, the fourth sentence that starts with in addition, he argued that the word those was inserted, right? Page five, that those, the word those was inserted. Yeah. And then on page five, the fourth sentence there, it starts with the third, towards the end, the point was made that criticizing Israel was not the same as being anti-Semitism, Semitic. So the mism was removed. And then it went further. The sentence became one, and it goes further to say, and that Ne? Where it says it was, following Semitic, it starts with and that, so it connects the two to form one sentence. Right? And then on the second, after the first paragraph, the sentence that starts with after the engaging debates, the following resolutions is replaced with recommendations. Are we on the same page thus far? Are we on the same page thus far? I just want to check whether we, okay, the members, okay. Then, on point four, on the same page, point four, the sentence as it stood didn't really make sense. It was changed to read as follows, that on the global arena, South Africa should lobby for the financial support. No, sorry. Where's the new one? Okay, yeah. It says on the global arena, South Africa should lobby for financial support to enhance socio-economic development. So it changes that thing there. Then, let me see. On point seven, okay, let's go to point eight. The SWIFT, in fact, throughout the document, all those acronyms that I used, I had instructed that they be the full names be used in conjunction with acronyms. So that should go through the entire document, right? And then the under 3.2, group 2, Cuba, the second paragraph there, comments, which starts with comments, started with comments, now it reads all comments. It said comments from, reiterated the need. Didn't make sense. So all comments, it then says all comments reiterated the need. Right. As I said, recommendations throughout the document is replaced with recommendations. Let me just, okay, there's acronyms again. On page 8, point 5, okay, on this new one is point, point 5, page 9, sorry. The word Human Rights Violations Committee by Morocco is committed. And then on the following page, point 6, the wall of shame and landmines, as opposed to just mines, should be removed. Those people will become even more poorer, honorable members, if the mines were to be removed. So it's landmines that should be removed. Point 13, okay, no. On page 11, no. sorry, on page 12. On page 12, on Cuba, the participants of the conference, that one there, then express concern at the continued persecution of the Cuban Five. Right? And then, in line with what was said earlier, and call for the release, and call for their release. Okay. Yeah, those are what I think are technical changes made in terms of language and so on, honorable members. You may have yourself noted some, you know, some errors. If there are others outside of those that I've pointed out to you, please please raise them now, so that those changes can be effected. Okay.
On page
2. Of the new one?
Of the new one, yes.
Okay.
I would like to effect some changes,
okay,
or additions in my name. It's JP,
Ruben and Maluleka.
There's a hyphen between Ruben and Maluleka.
Sorry. Yeah, JP Maluleka, Ngubeni Maluleka, and then there's a hyphen between Ngubeni and Maluleka. It's a double barrel, honorable, it's a double barrel. Okay, any other, honorable Dudley?
On page 5, it would be in the global arena,
In the global arena. Page 5, where is it? In the global arena. Okay, there's a request for that to be noted, honorable members. Indeed, the ACTP did raise their objection.
And the one other thing, obviously, this is a report of the committee. There will be a report of the committee going forward, but what it says is the draft report of the portfolio committee. So it sort of captures everything that was said and done at the conference. Then in terms of the committee,
it doesn't contain anything, any comments from us or any recommendations from us. In other words, these are things that have to the conference. Clearly, we're not putting those forward as recommendations. Okay, let me perhaps, let me first, I thought if you just hold that for a second, we can come back to it right now. Are there any other technical changes that you want made, then we can deal with the technical aspects and then come back to what I think is a more substantive issue. That's not necessarily in terms of the content, but in terms of the status of the report. Okay, can we do that, Honorable Mohamed?
Chair, thank you, Chair. I just have one or two, but there are a few grammatical things which I will do it on my own and send it to you. Is that right, or do you want me to actually spell it out now?
Well, if they are purely grammatic,
yeah,
then I'm sure, honorable members, those we can do. She can, if they are purely grammatic.
I can just do two maybe. On page 3, the last paragraph, the third line from the bottom, each breakaway group dealt with a specific theme. Just the word with. And then page 4.
Just hold a sec.
It's on the new document.
It's on the new document.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, just the word.
Or dealt with, yeah. Okay.
7. Okay. On page 4, it's the 7th line. Second paragraph, 7th line. Palestinian refugees should have the right to return the humanitarian crisis that resulted from the blockade on Gaza. Resulted.
Resulted.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the others, I'll
continue. That's fine. Any other? Nothing. All right. Okay, that's fine. In the event that you note some other grammatical, please don't hesitate to raise it with us so that we can do the necessary, effect the necessary changes in that respect. Thank you so much. Now, let me quickly come to the matter of the report. I think all of us, Honorable Dudley, left that meeting with the understanding, and I had made it clear in that conference, that we have received the views, we've heard what all those organizations and individuals and whoever else had to say about these issues. Now, you recall, I actually stood up and made that point. And I said, now, it will be incumbent upon the committee, once it is dealing with its report, to express its own view as a committee of parliament. Right? Because obviously that conference could not have possibly taken decisions on behalf of the committee or on behalf of parliament. But I made that clear in the meeting. And I went further to say that it was also incumbent on all those organizations to go to their respective constituencies and have a discussion, you know, amongst themselves around these particular issues. So we are here today to discuss exactly that. Now, this is an event that was hosted by us. And so what we need to do first is two things. One is we need to agree on whether what is captured in this report is a reflection of what took place on that particular day. Now, we need to separate the two issues. A report of a factual account of what transpired, what we think about what was said is neither here nor there. It's immaterial, at least to that effect, right? So that's the one thing. Now, once we have agreed on this factual basis or otherwise of the report, then we will then have to adopt that report as the outcome, as a true reflection of an event we hosted. That's the one thing. The second one is then we need to say as a committee, what is it that we want to do with the issues contained in the report? Right. So those would be the recommendations, the way forward. What do we do going from here? Having received all these views, having had these discussions, having engaged, what do we do from there? So essentially, it will be the same approach we took regarding the report on the symposium and all the other events that we had, including the visit to Israel and Palestine. So those are the two issues. So I asked the honor. I don't know whether there's any confusion. Okay. So I asked the honorable members now to, for us to engage on the substance of this report insofar as it relates to what the discussions were and whether indeed that is a true reflection. Now, once we've done that, we must then now have a discussion about what do we do from there, from here, once we're done with that process. So I ask you, honorable members, to, for a moment, just to separate the two, right? So essentially what I'm saying, it doesn't mean that if we adopt the report, you agree with what is said in the report. Those are the views as expressed by that conference, right? So we need to say as a committee, what do we want to do going forward? I just want us to be clear on that, okay? Does it make sense, honorable members?
Yeah.
Please don't let me regret asking you that question. Honorable De Goede, now about you.
I think it's probably easier if I speak.
It's not going anywhere.
Taylor, I hear what you say about this, and you know,
one with one remark, one reservation. You know, as far as I could, as I'm told, that is an accurate reflection of what was said at the meeting. But I would like to record, or at least emphasize what you said, that we are not considering the substance of the report or any of the declarations or recommendations contained. Is that the understanding of the committee? Thanks.
Do you understand this process? My debugging is process. Okay. What I'm saying is there are two processes. The one is dealing with the report. Now, okay, let's talk about a report. What is a report? A report really is a record of the event. That's what it is. And so what we need to agree firstly is whether this accurately reflects, whether this is an accurate record of that event. Right. That's what the report is. And in fact, in Parliament, that's what the report is. That is why, for instance, we have reports in the House. The legislation would be the substantive issue dealt with in terms of any particular issue. But the report is about the processes that were undertaken and everything else. So those processes are separate, you know, for purposes of adoption. They are separate. Following that report, we then engage on the recommendations. Now, at that point, you can then agree or disagree on the substantive issues, right? You then have your own view in terms of, you know, what the substantive, how you think, for instance, BDS, which I know is one of the issues that we are going that are going to come up very strongly in this meeting, and others, but I want to single out BDS. So that's another issue. That's another matter altogether. Am I okay? Oh, sorry, Mama. You.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. Let me just put on record that I think I understand what you are saying, Chairperson. Firstly, to separate the issues, because you are saying that this is what has happened at the event. In other words, to the members who were there agreed what these are the minutes of what has happened in this event. Are these minutes correct? That's what you are asking, by the way. Then if members agree with that, then we can move to the resolution of it. Because that would be maybe a discussion on it as far as I know. But I just want to record our sincere apology because Mr. Skusana could not be available. And then thereafter, it was his demise immediately after that. Then that is why I'm here, as you find myself. Too. Thank you, sir.
No, thank you so much.
May I just perhaps say to you, Bound Over, that with as a committee last week when we met, we observed a moment of silence and acknowledged the loss to the committee, to Parliament, and indeed to South Africa. House Kosana indeed leaves a void, and I can tell you now, I was actually thinking about him last night because I knew the issues we'll be dealing with today are tough issues. But the ever diplomat that he was, he would have tried to find a way around, you know, that would not have necessarily excluded everybody. That was his way of working. So he'll be sorely missed. His apology was recorded for not being able to attend at the. And speaking of it, I think that is what is not recorded in the minutes of this meeting, of this conference. Is it there? Yes. That is actually what's not recorded, because he did submit an apology for not being able to attend the conference. Okay. So please record that. Okay. Honorable members, do you still want to, I've noted you, do you still want to engage on this particular issue?
of the report.
Yes.
Okay. Honorable. The honorable. Yeah.
Thank you, Chita.
Thanks, Chairperson. I want to say I'm happy that you have separated the two issues. These are the minutes. The true reflection of what happened that day. I was part and parcel of that meeting. I participated in that conference. So everything that is in here is the true reflection of the discussions of that particular day. So I would like to request that we adopt the report as is, because it's really what took place. Then start to deal with what we are saying as a committee concerning what is contained here. Thank you.
I'm going to second that, saying that as far as I remember, this would be what went down. Now that my mic is on, I'd like to just say again that what is not recorded here is the ACDP distancing themselves from the Cape Town Declaration. I'm just recording. Thank you. So I will
second
that with that.
Chair, can I make a proposal here? Because I am afraid of some confusion arising around the adoption of the report. Let me make the following proposal to the committee, that we debate the substantive issues of the report and that the report subsequently be either accepted or rejected by the committee. I'm very wary of saying that we support the adoption of the report, and knowing that there are many issues in this report which require our very close attention. So I would make that that proposal.
Now, Honourable... Okay. May I ask something, Chair, before you say anything? I just want to follow the thinking of my brother. Why should we discuss it now? Should we discuss the conference of what the conference said? Is what he is saying. I just want to understand that so that I will get enriched on what he's saying. We should go back to the conference. We should go back to the conference. I'm trying to be in the same path so that I won't get lost somewhere. Because I'm new in this community, I may not understand what is the procedure here. I'm trying to say that should we go back to the conference and try to rerun the conference so that we understand and so on and so forth, so that we know everything. I'm trying to understand that, Jefferson. I am stupid, I know, but I'm trying to be very polite. That is all.
Okay, let me. That's all. I've noted your problem. Let me expose to the honourable that today. Please let him explain himself. Please.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to just separate pure minutes of the meeting and substantive issues. And I'm trying to avoid confusion by saying we adopt the report and we have in fact, or it is interpreted as meaning that we endorse the report and the contents of the report. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to avoid that confusion.
I'm with you, honorable members. Only, I'm sure that the question was asked because Baba wanted to follow up.
I thought, Chairperson, when you introduced the matter, you said these are the minutes of what has happened on that day.
Yes.
Full stop. Do we agree or we disagree that what has happened on that day?
Okay.
That's all. And then thereafter, the second leg, which we are going to introduce the second leg, where we are going to engage you. But at this moment in time, this is why I came first to say that I really apologize because I can't be. I'll run short of it because I will all know that this is what I've had, this is what I've said, and everything. But according to the process, if the process says A, B, C, you can't start by C. You start by A and going down. If this is what has happened at the conference, then if everybody agrees that this is what has happened at the conference, then arising out of that conference, this is stage two. What should we do then from that what has happened in the conference? I think that's where my brother should come in, as far as I understand.
Okay. Honorable members, just a thought. I don't want us to engage much, much further on this thing. I will allow the others have entity if you have an opportunity, and we still don't get our major view. So let's start with you and let's go to Pro and whatever that means.
Chair, I just want to add my voice to some of the comrades and colleagues that have spoken. In terms of this report, it's basically an outright report. And I think Mr. Dakota was not even there in the meeting, in this conference, as far as I can see.
He
was, okay.
It should be corrected.
Oh, it should be corrected, okay. I apologize. I do believe that it's a straightforward report, which was just the events. I'm repeating what others have said, because it seems like there's some lack of, maybe there's some confusion. It's basically a straightforward report which is recorded of the proceedings of the conference. And we basically want to ensure that we've recorded exactly as to the events that have happened. Now, I believe that it's a simple issue, and I do believe that the chair will help us on this issue, and I hope that it's clarified to the members that it's basically a report that is now the exact events that have been recorded in this report. Unless there's some errors on the reporting, then we have a reason to discuss this. But other than that, I think the chair's comments are quite creative in terms of adopting this, and then we can discuss the substantive issues. Thank you.
Honorable Maya, please.
Thank you, Chair. I want to assume Honorable Dehoude has some concern with some of the issues in the judgment, like some of us do. But what we are saying now, we are not discussing that. What we are saying is this a report, and it has been agreed to somewhat move into the second. That's the two reflections. If we all agree to that, let's accept that. And I don't want us to confuse this, as Honorable Dehoude is saying. Adopting is endorsing. We cannot endorse without discussing. We're just accepting as it is. Like, for example, if you ask me, if I go to page 5, item 5, which says you must allow the persons, students, my question is, who did not allow them? Because everybody is allowed to come here. I'm just using that as an example. So by adopting, we're not saying we're endorsing, but we're just saying it's a two reflection.
You are the very last one.
Thank you. The confusion may arise because reports, as far as we know, often contain comments and recommendations from a committee. So perhaps all it has to happen is that it has to be minuted that we are adopting this part of the report without the comments and the recommendations of the committee.
No.
Honorable members, you are not assisting. You are not assisting at all. Okay. Look, procedurally, let's get back to procedure. How things are done in Parliament. Right. You see, we are so much vested in this issue that we begin to lose objectivity, Baba. What I'm saying is, we have so much an interest. In particular now, we know, honorable members sitting here, the two issues are not going to be an issue. Western Sahara and Cuba are not going to be issues. The TIF is about Palestine. We know that sitting here. Now, the problem is, what creates the problem is not the procedure itself, because the procedure is clear. It's been, we've been doing it for a long time. I mean, since 2009 and indeed other parliaments before us. We've been doing it all along. But the fear are the substantive issues. And I tried to allay those fears right at the beginning from a procedural point of view to say that the report is merely the minutes, as you said, Baba, of what transpired on that particular day. Now, Honorable, you can't, you see, perceptions are things that you manage. But we can't take decisions here on the basis of perceptions, on the basis of what whoever might think or how they might interpret it. Right? This we normally do. We adopt reports all the time. There has never been an issue, in fact, regarding the adoption of a report. Except, Baba, may I say yet again, it was on the Palestinian issue with the previous report we had, where we also had problems. You see. So please, let us agree that there was a proposal, by the way, that was seconded, that we adopt this as a true reflection of what transpired on the day. We will then deal with the substantive issues following that, and I can see there's quite a keenness to engage on the substantive issues. Let them engage, but allow us to adopt the report as a report of the events. Okay. So, is there any other view that we should not adopt this report? There was a second and a proposal.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to raise a question. I'm not differing with your view. Happy to adopt this if this is an honest reflection of what happened at the conference, which I did not attend. But I want to just ask a question about the conference itself, which is relevant to whether we adopt the report on the conference or not. This report starts, the first line says, the committee held the Parliamentary Solidarity Conference. I was not under the impression that it was an official conference of the Portfolio Committee. And I just wanted some clarity on that. I mean, reading the report as I have done this morning, it seems strange to me that a portfolio committee of parliaments would host a conference which quite explicitly takes a particular partisan view on a very contentious issue of international policy and negotiation. It also would seem strange that a parliamentary committee, a conference of a parliamentary committee, would be chaired by people who are not members of parliament and who are not members of the committee. So I just want to ask a couple of questions about the basis of the conference itself and whether, in fact, it was a conference of this committee and a conference of parliament, or whether essentially, Parliament was just used as a venue for the conference.
Okay, thanks. All right. You wanted to say something. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I am quite surprised by the question, because if the honourable member is the member of the committee, he should have attended.
I'm not a member.
Oh, you're not a member. Okay. I do believe that we are actually assembled here today for the report and not to actually debate the point whether we should have the conference or not. So I want some cue from the chair, because the real meeting, the purpose of this meeting was to adopt a report and not to debate whether we should have the conference or not, which is already done, said and done, and reported on. So I don't think there's room for much discussion here, in my opinion. Thank you.
Hold. Well,
Chairperson, if I understand the second speaker from the last speaker, I think that will come from the successive discussion. Because if he's asking that, why should we have a solidarity of some sort? Why don't we have a solidarity of an Arab world? That will be the other discussion. That will be in the other substantive discussion on the second leg of the discussion. But at this moment in time, I thought that the process was what had happened on that day, the minutes of that day. If they were wrong, this is where they were wrong. If they were right, where they were right, and so on. And then thereafter, engage. And then we engage. Should we have done this thing or not? Should we have done it this way or that way? But at the moment in time, I have a problem, Chairperson. Maybe I come from the other school. I have a problem of reversing myself into the wall because I can't say, therefore, let us go back and say what really has happened on that conference.
Okay.
That's where I am.
Okay.
But I hope I understand him correctly.
All right. I will give you the last chance.
Yeah, just one comment, Chair. Point of fact, I didn't ask for a debate. I was asking a question of clarity just to make sure, is that statement correct,
okay,
that this committee held the parliamentary conference? I do have a concern if that is correct, but that this is not the time to raise that concern, quite rightly. But I just want to know if that is correct.
Okay. All right. You see, there is no way of responding to a question without touching on the substantive issues. It's unfortunate that you did not perhaps take the time to familiarize yourself with the background to this conference, because I think that would have assisted us a lot. We as a committee proposed, as I said earlier, resolutions to the House, which were subsequently adopted. Part of those resolutions, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, who has a copy of those resolutions here? I think that will assist. Do you have? Yeah. Part of those resolutions, it would have assisted the member, Honorable Dakude, if you had perhaps shared that information with him.
No, I've written.
I'm not sure if you understood it then. Because part of that, the decision, the resolution is, Parliament has no question about what it does in terms of solidarity. It pledges solidarity with the Palestinian people. There's no question about it. It has always been the case. We've reaffirmed those decisions in the previous, or in fact, the previous resolution reaffirmed those decisions. Secondly, one of the resolutions taken by the House is for Parliament to bring together a wide, or all sections, I think if I hope I quote it verbatim, to bring together all sections of the South African population who support the Palestinian cause, right? And to mobilize them towards strengthening our work in that regard. So there is a resolution of Parliament in that regard. So there should be no question about whether it was parliamentary or not. There are House resolutions in that regard. And so the committee did that in pursuit of those House resolutions. As I'm saying, I think it would have assisted you if you had the background to the event. Honorable members, let's now move to I'm not going to give you another opportunity now. We must get to the report and finalize it. We can't rehash. We're not going to discuss that report, Chief. We've dealt with it, so we'll move forward now.
Okay, but the statement is not in yet.
What statement is not in there? I don't know. Which document do you have there?
Chair, I'm referring to the House resolution from November last year.
Yeah.
And I don't, perhaps I'm skipping over it, so I'm reading it quite fast, and I have read it before, but I don't see the statement you just referred to.
Well, can you look at the last point where it says, therefore, resolved. Can you read it loud for everybody to hear?
That the international community assists both Israel and Palestine to work towards a two-state solution with a contiguous and economically viable Palestinian state existing side by side in peace with Israel within internationally recognized borders based on those existing on 4th of June 1967 with East Jerusalem as its capital. That's it.
No, that's not the only one. There's about, I think, six or so. Then you might not have the correct document. Hold on. When's that? Do you have a copy of that thing? Okay. it's fine. You don't have the correct document. If that's the only thing that is said there, it's not the correct document. Where's my... Andy, sir?
Yeah.
Look on there. No. Look. Look, honourable members, we're not going to have a new discussion about decisions we have taken as the House. The honourable member, as I said, should have familiarised himself before coming to the meeting and engaging on a matter that has history to it. As I said, we've undertaken 4 years of work. We're not going to rehash the same thing all over again. So. Ending it right there, Mama. What we need to do now, is to get clarity. Is there dissent from the view, which it looks like there's at least sufficient consensus on, that the report should be adopted? It was proposed by Honourable, was it Ngubeni Maluleke? And supported by Honorable Dudley. Is there a dissenting view?
Yeah.
No. Okay. No, I'm not entertaining discussions on it. We are adopting now. There's no dissent. Is that a dissenting view, Honorable Dudley?
Chair, I'd like to reserve our position. Thank you.
No, there's nothing like reserve a position in our procedure.
And make that a dissenting view, please.
You, okay. So you, are you proposing that the report not be adopted?
Chair,
or we note your objection.
I'm not being obstructive at all. I'm just trying to get clarity on the points we've been discussing and to make sure there's no misunderstanding around the treatment or
Honourable,
yeah.
I'm not going to entertain that point. You've made that point.
That's right.
What do we do? Do you want us to note, record your objection to the adoption of the report, or are you making a counter proposal that the report not be adopted?
No, sir. The proposal I'm making is that, or at least, let's put it this way, I'm not certain, and I go back to my original objection, or my original point I made, that the discussion, the adoption of this, what we're looking at here, Chair, sorry, just let me try and clarify this. We're looking at minutes.
Honourable Dahoude, you are not assisting us. Okay. You see, you've made your point.
Right.
We've heard what you had to say. We have given you, in fact, all of us have the very same understanding about the report.
Yeah.
So all you need to tell us at this point, there is a proposal and a seconder for the adoption of the report. Whether do you should we record your objection, or do you make a proposal that the report not be adopted so that we take the matter to a vote?
No, sir, you can record my objection.
Okay.
You.
Record the objection of the DA to the adoption of the report. Any other objections to be recorded? None. Okay, the report then is adopted. Now, honorable members, now what we need to do going forward from here is to say now we have received the report, we have adopted the report. What do we recommend as a committee in terms of the substantive issues contained in the report? That is the portion now that we need to discuss. So You will note, perhaps I should just say, you will note that in the report itself as tabled to you, there are no recommendations proposed. Just said the report will be considered. Right. So now we are at the portion where you can raise your issues pertaining to the substantive issues, honorable or honorables.
Nothing. Okay.
Shall I adjourn the meeting then? Honourable Dudley?
I would prefer, if possible, not to talk to to what was resolved at the conference. What I would like to say is that at the conference, DIRCA told us that they were busy working on a document
in terms of the reconstruction and development of Palestine and South Africa's policy there, and that would contain suggestions in their draft as to how we put legs to that. Now, we haven't seen that document, and I would say that this conference obviously will then be in the minds of members of Parliament when we do look at that document. So my proposal is that our recommendation would be something along the lines of that we're expecting this document to come from Durka in terms of reconstruction and development of Palestine, and that we will be looking at it and at that stage opening it to broad consultation, hearings, and go through our process at that point in an even-handed way. So this was something the committee obviously wanted this input as background information, but when we get that document, it will clearly be something that will be open to, it won't be exclusive, it will be inclusive, the process, and linked to that document, and I think that would be my suggestion. Thank you.
All right. Honourable Lovu and then Honourable Rahuda. Honourable Mahmoud.
Chairperson, it's my first day to... I have to write something because it was my... it's my first day on this meeting, that's why I have to write something down so that I could remember what I said in the first meeting of this one. Because I've never been a diplomat before. I only carry a gun or something. As this committee deliberates on the draft report of the Solidarity Conference in support of Palestine, Western Sahara, and Cuba, which was held in Parliament on the 6th February 2014, the IFP wishes to raise the serious objection on one thing. The conflict between Palestine and Israel is a complex one and demands an even-handed approach from the government of South Africa. Yet for years our government has held an unspoken bias towards Palestine and has even expressed undercurrents towards Israel, despite having official diplomat ties with Israel and despite recognizing the state of Israel. This almost duplicity approach has been detriment to our country's image and objective observer and a moral authority on issues of human rights. The IFP believes in equal freedom for all people. We also believe our government has a moral responsibility to support peace, non-discrimination, and non-violent devotion wherever these are present. We must support the peaceful outcome of this historical conflict. This is not about taking sides, but about ensuring that neither side sustain a loss of dignity or a basic humanity. It is about stemming the flow of blood and seeing a different path forward that embraces compromise as well as the importance of accommodating different views. It is about creating peace. By virtue of our long struggle for freedom, South Africa should relate to the heart cry of Israel as much as it does to the cry of Palestine. The IFP therefore requests that this committee extract in the report the importance of promoting two-state solution to the Israel-Palestine conflict through negotiation settlement, avoiding violence at all costs. Two, condemnation of an approach by government that would compromise or vilify either side, particularly in an atmosphere of escalating tension. Three, the need for a conference of equal status that consider the needs and interests of Israel. Four, the need of this committee to build a relation between countries in a state of conflict rather than adding to the tension or increasing conflict. That would be the position that I had. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dovu. Who was next in line? Honorable Mahmoud. Okay, noted.
Chair, it's always been our position that we encourage dialogue and negotiation and peaceful settlement for resolution. However, there are some recommendations that we have in front of us as the ANC, and I believe that I've submitted a copy to the chairperson as well. So what would you request, Chair? Do you want us to read it, or?
You can make your proposal as the Honourable Member did.
Yes. So perhaps I will read Cuba and give my colleague a chance to talk on Palestine. The ANC's recommendations, noting that the hosting of the Solidarity Conference on the 6th February 2014 was an outcome of extensive work done by the committee since 2010 on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Further noting that the conference was a historic event and first of its kind after the demise of apartheid and the dawn of democracy in South Africa. Recalling that the conference brought together a wide section of our population, including religious, labor, civil society groupings, lobby, political research and knowledge institutions and individuals. Further recalling the active participation of the embassies of Cuba, Western Sahara and Palestine. We resolve as follows. Cuba, to recall and reaffirm House resolution, reiterate our commitment to the strengthening of relations with the government and the people of the Republic of Cuba. Work towards the deepening of people-to-people relationship between the two countries. Condemns the unilateral U.S. trade and the economic embargo against Cuba, Cuban nation, and note that it is its people of Cuba who suffer. Call on the U.S. to release the remaining four of the Cuban five and to respect the human rights of the Cuban five while in U.S. prison. In terms of Western Sahara, I think one of the other colleagues will read our resolution. My other colleague will continue.
Thank you, Chair. Especially my colleagues who could be tired. But we do understand the end of the term. Western Sahara commends South Africa for our principled and unwavering position on Western Sahara. Reaffirm our belief that Western Sahara is a decolonization issue and that Western Sahara is the last colony on the African continent. Condemn the human rights violation committed by Morocco against the people of Western Sahara. Condemn the wall of shame and call for the immediate removal of all landmines on the border. Condemn the media blockage and call for its immediate removal. Explore the illegal exploitation of the natural resources of Western Sahara and call for all those countries complicit in these crimes to be held accountable consistent with international law. Condemn the EU for resolving to give priority to the decolonization of Western Sahara. Acknowledge that the Pan-African Parliament has also taken up the same debate. Reiterate our commitment to the aspirations of the people of Western Sahara for independence and the right of self-determination. And the last one, call on the international community to work towards achieving this aspiration. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm dealing with Palestine. The first one is recall and reaffirm House resolution. Reaffirm our commitment to the creation of sovereign, independent, and viable Palestinian state, existing side by side and in peace with the State of Israel within international recognized borders based on those existing on the 4th of June, 1967, with East Jerusalem as its capital. Commend the UN General Assembly for proclaiming 2014 as the International Year of Solidarity with the Palestinian people and support their decision to request the Committee on the Exercise of Inalienable Rights to recognize solidarity activities in cooperation with the UN, government, parliament, intergovernmental organizations, and civil society organizations throughout the world. Reiterate our support for a negotiated solution and express our hope and support for the current round of negotiations will deliver on the aspirations of the Palestinian people.
continue to mobilize all sectors of South African population behind the Palestinian cause. Support government's decision to actively support Palestinian reconciliation and unity efforts. The last one, to continue to intensify solidarity efforts with the view of strengthening the Palestinian struggle against the illegal and brutal occupation. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Dahuda.
Thanks, Chair. That would be very useful to have in writing for the members of the committee. Chair, I have a few points to be made. It seems to me, in the first place, if we can just go back to this entire exercise that we're busy with, I would postulate, and perhaps the committee members can comment on this, that the Portfolio Committee is an oversight mechanism of Parliament. It's not a policy-making body. And I think we may be creating a precedent here where Parliament accepts input from civil society, and we have absolutely no problem with civil society making, formulating these inputs, but embodying them as policy without, which means that there might be an open door for other civil society bodies to use the same mechanism. But can I come back to November 2013, Chair? The committee is well aware that a resolution was formulated by this committee, of which I was not a member at the time, and which was adopted by Parliament and which forms the basis of national policy towards the Israeli-Palestine question. Now, the DA aligned itself with the November the 6th resolution, in terms of which a negotiated settlement, two-state solution, and mutual recognition of the right of both Palestinians and Israelis to have sovereign and secure states was embodied. It seems to me if we adopt some of the contents of this report, and I'm referring particularly to the Cape Town Declaration, this is not national policy. We are adopting a document which is not in line with national policy. We have a number, we have the Deputy Minister of International Relations, Minister Ibrahim Ibrahim, who said last week in Pretoria that he made comments about South African foreign policy. And he said our approach is conflict prevention and resolution. He said South Africa is here to offer meaningful support for constructive engagement between, in this case, the Syrian parties, but it applies equally well to the parties in the Israel-Palestine situation. And he said further, this is the Deputy Minister, our humble experience is that negotiated settlement can be found even to conflicts that the world has come to regard as insoluble. Now, my question is, Chair, is the content, and particularly of the Cape Town Declaration, is it in line with these public statements where the Cape Town Declaration proposes punitive measures? And we should ask ourselves, is this in fact the policy of the South African government, and is it in fact the basis of the resolution taken on November the 6th last year? Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Any other hands? No? All right. Let me flag on two issues, honorable members. The first is, you see, whatever we do, we must never become arrogant to think that we are impervious to be lobbied by civil society. Now, and indeed, civil society organizations in our country, both codified in terms of law, but also in terms of principle, have the right to participate in parliamentary processes. That must never
be brought into question. Equally, they have a right to lobby members of parliament and committees of parliament, which they do, by the way, on a daily basis. And again, I want to re-emphasize, they have a right, and this is a right we fought for very hard. And we will jealously guard that right for people to express their views, even as, in fact, let me make the point again that I made, especially when they don't agree with us. We must always stand ready to guard and defend their right to express those views. Now, it is, as a parliament, it is now incumbent upon us to say, having heard what they have to say, what do we do going forward? So I'm saying, honorable members, that how we engage around the issue, I'm still speaking, Chief, how we engage around the issue shouldn't undermine the critical ability of people to express their views on any issue. And the issue of the conflict of Palestine and Israel is no exception. It should also be discussed openly, and people should be able to say whatever they want to say. Right? Whether, in fact, it's consistent with stated policy or not, they must be able to raise that. Now, it is our responsibility as MPs to say, as a committee of parliament, how do we engage? Always, we shouldn't. So please, I just want to, secondly, the various statements were made by at least by three parties in terms of how they view the issue. And I think it is a useful exercise to start engaging on those issues that were specifically raised as committee recommendations going forward. We can debate, because I'm sure if we want to debate the Israeli-Palestinian issue, we'll debate for days, because we hold different views on the matter. But Parliament as an institution has resolved on this issue in earlier years, but also as recent as November 2011. And so proposals that are made, I would assume are not, at least should not be out of line, out of sync with decisions already taken by Parliament or stated policy positions by the government. Now, perhaps important to note that Parliament is a foreign policy, is an actor in the foreign policy space. It doesn't determine foreign policy, but it influences foreign policy and it participates in foreign policy making, like any other sphere of policy. And in many instances, Parliament actually approves government policy through various white papers and so on. So I think it is useful, honorable members, to engage with the proposals that are made as recommendations and perhaps look at those in terms of their consistency or inconsistency or desirability, if you wish. I think that will help us going forward, as opposed to having a dogmatic debate about, whether Palestine or not, or Israel or not, honorable. And then you, Honorable David. I'm saying Honorable David. Honorable Dadley. And did you? Have you end up? Okay. Then Baum Jovu. And who else? Honorable Mama. The four of you.
Chairperson, Honorable Davidson is a much greater than me. But look, Chair, broadly, I agree with your approach entirely. This matter is a matter that's been under debate by many global bodies and world leaders for literally hundreds of years. So I'm not sure that it's possible to make any progress in that regard in this meeting. But let me just say that I think that the proposals that were read out by the colleagues, which obviously we don't have in front of us yet, are broadly, I think, in line with the November 2013 resolution of Parliament. And I would very much like to see them in writing. I heard one or two that I'd like to amend a word. I'd like to propose an amendment of a word here or there. But more than that, I'm very encouraged that the resolutions express 100% support for the current peace negotiations underway, led by the U.S. and Russia, although they may disagree now over a little invasion of the Crimea. But nonetheless, I think it's really important that we express complete support for that process, and I'm glad that, one of the honorable members did suggest that. So, Chairperson, I agree with your proposal. We need to engage with those recommendations. I would like to have them in writing in front of us so that we can debate the wording. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Okay. I think perhaps that may assist us. Can I call for a 5-minute break? Baba, you have your Nancy gun, eh? Okay. Let's get, yeah, if you have copies, please disseminate to the other parties, and then we can talk on the basis of something that we have. So, shall we, Lubabalo, 5 minutes enough?
Yes.
It's fine. Okay, 5 minutes, let's break for 5 minutes, have tea, I hope there's still tea, and we can then come back. Thank you.
How are you, sir?
All right, I'm
sorry. Are you well?
All right.
I'm ready.
Hello, I'm fine with you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Mom. How are you?
Ay, que.
Pero,
Honorable, order. Order. All right. Honorable members, you've received your listing. Please, let's hear what you have to say. Please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've read through these. I'd like to make 3 points on, and I'm referring to the ANC's proposal that's been put before me. Firstly, in paragraph 3, I don't think that it's correct for us to say that the conference brought together a wide section of our population, including religious, labor, civil society groupings, lobby, political research and knowledge institutions and individuals. I think it brought together a wide section of our population with a very uniform view on the matters under discussion in that conference, and that this, the people who were invited to participate and the groupings who were invited to participate did not reflect a balanced take on the matters that were under discussion. And so I don't think it's accurate for us to say that in this recommendation. That's the first thing. The second thing, Chairperson, under the section titled Palestine, and under the point E, I would like to propose that we amend that very slightly to read, continue to mobilize all sectors of the sub... continue to mobilize all sectors of the South African population behind the, and here comes the edit, the current peace process. And then G, in section G, continue to intensify solidarity efforts with the view of strengthening the Palestinian struggle, full stop. Stop at that point. And I'll just give a brief reasoning for those two suggested edits, Chairperson. I think if we look at point number D, our full support for the negotiated solution and the current round of talks that are underway. I think it's really important that we stress that for the first time in 2 decades, since the mid-1990s, there is a reasonable hope of a negotiated settlement in the Middle East. And it does seem that those talks are progressing nicely and that progress is slow and steady towards a negotiated settlement. I think when we insert... So I fully endorse point D. But then in E and G, when we once again insert very emotive language, which is partisan, it undermines the commitment just expressed in D that we offer our full support to the peace process. So I think in E, what we should be saying is that the whole South African population, every one of us should be praying that the peace negotiations proceed well and that they succeed. And then in G, I think that kind of emotive language, would anger people who are participating in that peace process and would not in any way serve to support the peace process and bolster it. It would, in some small way, undermine it. And so that's why I propose those two amendments. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, there's a proposal for amendments from the DA.
I just want to let us understand the process. I think the three parties submitted recommendations, their own recommendations. And we as the ANC also submitted some recommendations. I would humbly propose for the DA to also perhaps put some things on paper that they are concerned about. which would make it easier. I also want to say that in terms of the two proposals on the two points, it's basically what our recommendations say, and I don't believe that we need to change that specifically, because in my opinion, I don't think it's emotive, neither is it provocative, so I think we need to leave it as it is. In terms of the first comment that Mr. Lee made, is that he says we should recall the conference to a limited amount of people. I think we had published widely in the newspapers. We had all the advertisements that needed to go with it. We invited everybody that needed to come, all interested parties. So I don't understand why we should not say what we did. Because this particular document of ours says exactly what we did. And I think we opened ourselves to anybody and everybody to participate in the conference. So that's my take on it. And on a lighter note, I would love to invite Mr. Louis to join this committee in the next parliament.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, firstly, I must thank you for asking us, for requesting that we have this document in front of us. I do understand what is happening now, although I'm new in this thing. My take on this is the topic of the conference. You see, immediately when you say solidarity conference in support of, you are placing the other people who are not in support of that, not to be part of that. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. If I'm saying solidarity of you, Chairperson, that means I'm against somebody else. Immediately, everything that will come out of that discussion will seem to favor who is in solidarity of than in solidarity against. That's a position, that's the first position that they come up with. Now, secondly, we are being hindered here because the DA and the ACDP hasn't given us any document in front of us so that we are able to see their position, so that we are clear of what we are talking about. But in this sense of what we are discussing at this moment, that's where the problem comes from. And I think that is where I'm trying to reverse myself of saying maybe the problem will arise from that understanding when it comes forward to the resolution. But the resolution itself seems to dictate of what has happened in the conference, but it seems as if there are some words that can be missed there and there, which can be corrected to make sure that we have a simple understanding of those words when it comes to the end of the meeting.
Let me just hold a second. Just hold. You are noted. You are noted. Let me just clarify two things first. Honourable members, remember, this conference is a culmination. There is a background to it. It's important to stress that. Now, I've tried to look up that relevant resolution in terms of which this conference was held. Now, I'm being failed by my gadget because I think it would have responded to what Ubaba was raising right now. So, firstly, I think it is important to note that our point of departure is our country's official policy. That is our point of departure. Now, there is no ambivalence in our policy. There's no ambivalence in our policy. Our policy is one of solidarity. our policy is one of supporting the peace process in whatever form, in spite of more than 20 years of failed talks, in fact, of failed process, or perhaps I should say, in spite of more than 20 years of process, because that's what this has been. It's been about process. Now, so, the discussion, and this is the point I made also in that conference, the discussion is way beyond. The question of solidarity or not is a settled matter. That is not the question in contention here. Right? And having such a discussion in the committee will waste our time. I can tell you it will waste our time. Because that is a settled matter. In fact, not only in terms of our policy, but also in terms of parliamentary resolutions. You know, we've, in fact, in our resolutions of November 2013, we've quoted a 2005 and I think a 2004 resolution, but a 2005 resolution, also of Parliament, of the House, expressing solidarity with the Palestinian people. We went to great lengths to explain the logic in the 2013 resolutions behind pledging solidarity, that it was based on principle, it was based on our own experiences. So that is a settled matter. And I hope we're not going to waste each other's time here and discuss whether solidarity or not, or whether we are, you know, leaning perhaps too much to one side. That, in terms of policy, that is a settled matter. In terms of our principles, that is a settled matter. Right? What we should be doing, to the contrary, is perhaps to respond to the question that was raised by Obama. The decision, the resolution that was taken, and let me quote it for those of you who may perhaps have missed it. One of them is to, it says it is to become a leading part of the worldwide movement, which includes South Africa's civil society, supporting the struggle and campaigns led by the Palestinian people. And to this end, bring together all sections of the South African population supporting the Palestinian cause. So, from that resolution, it's to mobilize all those sectors and play a leading part in supporting the Palestinian cause. This is the very same issue I explained to some of the participants in the conference. To say we will not debate here solidarity or not, that is a settled matter. In fact, the committee even has settled that matter, that debate. So that is the context. So I don't want us to waste each other's time here and discuss a matter that is settled. Okay. Let's return to the specific issues that were raised by the DA in relation to the proposals by the ANC, and perhaps chart a way forward from there. Let me start with you. I'll go to Prof. and then come to you.
Thank you. Keeping in mind, obviously, what I said the ACDP's position would be in terms of referring to the document that's being drafted by DIRCA, and then on hearing the other submissions and how we could actually relate to those and what would not be problematic for us, if I can read what would more or less be what we could put forward, starting with reaffirm our commitment to the creation of a sovereign, independent, and viable Palestine state existing side by side and in peace with the State of Israel within internationally recognized borders based on those existing on 4th of June 1967. Note the UN General Assembly proclamation of 2014 as the International Year of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. Reiterate our support for a negotiated solution and express our hope and support for the current round of negotiations will deliver on the aspirations of the Palestinian people. Support government's decision to actively support Palestinian reconciliation and unity efforts. Notes the recommendations of the Cape Town Declaration. Notes that DIRCA is drafting a document on the role South Africa will play in the construction and development of Palestine, commits to inclusive hearings on the document when submitted to Parliament.
Okay. No, the last one, note? The very last one.
Commits to inclusive hearings on the document when submitted to Parliament.
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay, Honorable, who was it? Honorable Prof.
Thank you, sir. I'm trying to reason the way you are reasoning and saying there is no debate about where we are and whether we are supporting or not support. I think we must accept the reality that that is a ANC government approach. The opposition is not for that. I think let's accept that reality. And again, if you look at these debate discussions, when you look at these different countries, when you look at Cuba, the bias is literally there that the ANC government is biased towards Cuba. When you go to Western Sahara, you cannot debate and discuss. It is biased towards Western Sahara. When you go to Palestine, the government is not mincing its words. It is biased towards Palestine. That is its attitude and stance. And I don't think we can pretend, therefore, that we are going to find each other. If Inkatha Freedom Fighters, for example, says we must be neutral and not be sure where we are, and this debate is not carried on to Cuba and Western Sahara, it comes back when you discuss Palestine, because there are some people who are literally, natural, whatever reason, biased towards Palestine. Why don't we accept that reality? Because when the Czech Republic is saying the parliament, that parliament was the ANC government putting on the table what its attitude is. And basically what is reflected here in all these countries, it is just that. And we can debate that until cows come home. If the DA and the ACDP and others are not for that approach, and to me, I'm repeating what I'm saying, how I wish they could carry that on again. When you say Cuba, they say, why don't you say something about the U.S.? When they say Western Sahara, they say, why are you biased against Morocco? There's nothing saying that. But when it comes to Palestine, it becomes very sensitive. I'm saying this is where we are, and this is the way we see things when we put our ANC spectacles in government. And we are saying we are unashamedly biased towards Palestine, which to us is the underdog as we speak. It is trying to get out of where it is because Israel is more powerful. It is unable to get out of that. That could be wrong, but that is our attitude.
Thank you, Prof.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this recommendation, we must finalize today the question of time constraints. Next week we are rising. A new committee will be here, maybe one of us will be here, because we're only certain about our certainty in politics. So maybe we won't be here, and then new members will have lost track. So we've got to finalize this. So as I see now, issue on Cuba versus Sahara is a big problem. All parties agree to that. It's a parasite issue. And it's one of two things. I think we can solve this here. Today you've got a problem with the illegal and brutal occupation that term and another change there. So I think we can reach even the ACDP. It's quite in line with our recommendations. So I believe, Chair, that he will try and finalize his recommendations and be approved. Thank you.
Okay, let me try to be a bit systematic. I've allowed a bit of discussion and so on, but let me be a bit systematic and try to isolate the issues. Let me start right at the bottom of the page. There was an objection to using the word illegal and brutal. Now, my own understanding is those two things are factual. They are not emotive. They are not emotional. They are not subjective, they're factual. Indeed, the occupation in Palestine is illegal in terms of international law. That's a settled matter, both in terms of ICJ opinions and also General Assembly and Security Council resolutions on the matter. It's illegal, it's a fact. The brutality, of course, is manifested in the hardships that Palestinians suffer from on a daily basis. It's factual, it's not emotive. If you become emotional about it, then it's a different matter, but it's factual. Indeed, that's the nature of occupation. The same, kind of thing. I mean, if you take Western Sahara, occupation, same thing, brutal. And in that case, one of the issues raised was the human rights violations, which was, for instance, not even raised in this one. But they are there. That is the nature of occupations. That is the very nature, and that's how they are. So please don't inject emotion, your own emotions, into a matter which is otherwise an objective fact, in spite of what you might think about it. The other issue is the matter of the peace process. Again, this point E that you took issue with, Honorable Member, basically restates a resolution that we took. It's nothing new. It's not a new point that is being made. The point that I read to you just now says precisely that. That all it says this time is that we should strengthen those efforts. So there's nothing new. It's a stated position. It constitutes part of the. And then the last one I think I should comment about is the matter of based on the 1967 borders. Now, once you say internationally recognized borders, you are referring to those as they existed on 4 June 1967. And those borders include East Jerusalem as the capital. You could even remove the wording East Jerusalem as its capital. As soon as you accept 1967 borders as they existed, then they include East Jerusalem, obviously. And then on the last issue, I can concede this point to say that the first issue you raised, paragraph 3, research and knowledge institutions and individuals. Now, indeed, that was true. However, as you said, because it was a solidarity conference, now, in spite of the fact, perhaps I should say, there were other people who did not pledge solidarity with Palestine, by the way, in that meeting, in that conference. They were there. And they expressed their views on what they thought some of the issues. No, they were there, honorable members, unless I'm the only one who saw them. But they were there and they expressed their views. Everybody was invited, honorable member. There were newspaper adverts that were sent out to anybody who wanted to attend. So over and above the organizations, we received inquiries from the Zionist Federation, amongst others. And who else was it, Lubaba, that inquired about whether they could attend? The Jewish Board of Deputies and some other people who do not support, the Palestinian cause. They inquired whether they could attend, and they were told, if you wanted to attend, you could attend. And indeed, I don't know all of them, but some I've seen, I know, are members of the Zionist Federation who were there. I'm not sure if members of the Jewish Board of Deputies were there specifically. But point is, they were there. There were people, other people who had other views. Contrary to solidarity, they were there and they expressed their views. And they came on the basis of an open invitation, a public invitation in advance. So are you going to deny the fact that they were there? You can't. So, anyway, I think those are the four issues, the contentious issues, I think, that were raised. And we need to get to a decision around this. So, shall we... you see, we've never, honorable members, never voted on any issue in this committee. Never. And I would regret that it should happen today. I would regret. So I don't want to take the matter to a vote. I will perhaps allow 5 more minutes for discussion, and then we must reach a conclusion. Okay. Now please be concise so that other members also get an opportunity.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will be concise. I still believe that it's not accurate to suggest that the conference brought together a wide section of our population. For example, we can say, we can ask in here why the embassies of the State of Israel and the embassies of the United States of America were not invited to participate and present. Just two very very brief examples. I also think, Chairperson, and I must state this on the record, I do not think it speaks well of Parliament as an institution that a session in this conference was chaired by someone who, number one, is not a member of Parliament and a member of this committee. That's the first issue. But number two, is actually convicted of hate speech in a South African court on this particular issue. And that, as you know, is Mr. Bongani Masuku. I think it speaks ill of Parliament and is unbecoming of this institution to have allowed that to happen. And I think that underlines why the statement in the third paragraph is just not right, not correct.
All right.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, you in fact confirmed that there is an inherent, if you like, tendency, both in the conference and its documentation, towards a certain stance, a certain point of view. And I think because we are trying to take a broader view of this very profound and very sensitive problem, I don't think that addresses adequately, and I will say it at a later stage as well, adequately an examination of this problem. I like the suggestion made by the ACDP that research, an investigation by Durka, be concluded and be added to the literature on this particular issue before we take a final decision. But as I say, you have noted yourself that there is an inherent stance, there's a predetermined stance taken towards this issue. Thank you.
Okay, Honourable Mama, I'll come back to you.
Chair, I think we need to understand as committee members that we have a responsibility in many, many issues. And I believe that we need to have a committed effort to do the work of this committee. I do believe that I said it once and I'm saying it again, that this conference was advertised for everybody to attend. And I don't understand why we are still continuously debating on the issue of who should attend and who was invited and what went wrong and how many people attended. It was an open invitation. It was in the media. It was very, very clearly advertised for everybody to attend. So I think we need to close that subject in terms of who attended. In terms of what our work in this committee is, I think we ought to understand that, as Mrs. Soli has actually said, that we have one more meeting to go. And I believe that we have a commitment as members, without any other agenda, consolidate and not dilute our work of this committee against trivial issues. So I do believe that we need to really make it clear that members need to do the work that they're supposed to do in this committee. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Mama.
Well,
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope I'm speaking for the last time before you take the decision on this matter. You see, Chairperson, I do understand now the background of some of the comments that is taking place, although I was not in the conference. But I go back to the principle, Chairperson, of saying, if I'm against you, immediately when you say those who are like me should attend my wedding, those who don't like you will never attend your wedding. That's the principle. In other words, that's a systematic, you don't have to be sad in so many words. Immediately when you say those who like me must attend the wedding and those who don't like me mustn't, you don't need to say they mustn't. But if you say those who like me must attend, immediately when I know that I don't like you, I'll never attend. That's the first issue. The second issue, Chairperson, how it was structured, I will never know because I was not privy to the preparation to the conference per se. But I thought, Chairperson, well, you were going to ask us what do we say about the resolution of Cuba. And then we finish that. And then we go to Western Sahara. Then we finish that. Then we come to Palestine, and then we finish that. So that you know exactly what is your position in all this. Because now we are jumping this side and that side, and we are confusing you as a chairperson. At the end, you will never know what we are agreeing upon. That's where my problem arises. I may be new. I did declare that I'm stupid. Sometimes I'm trying to learn very quickly. That is where I am. I'm trying to organize myself. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I do agree that when we come to the first comments, as we start with the recommendations that the ANC put forward, that sentence where we say, recalling that the conference brought together, it will be actually more accurate to leave out a wide section of our population. But if we say, recalling that the conference brought together religious, labor, civil society groupings, lobby, political research, and knowledge institutions and individuals, primarily in solidarity with Palestine, Western Sahara, and Cuba, will be more accurate because people were definitely not excluded who did pitch up. But there was no active, which you told us, that there was no active attempt, obviously, to go outside of that solidarity. Just to say from that.
I think that is taken up somewhat.
From the side of the ACDP, obviously, we did have a lot of concerns around the fact that the moderator was convicted of hate speech against the Jewish community. So that was a bit of a red rag situation, and I'm sure if we did it again, we would not go in that direction. But having said that, you said earlier when you opened up the conference, you said a classic example of how and why not to interfere in the affairs of other countries. And of course, with that, and that's one of the things the ANC often get right. In these, obviously, specific situations, there are exceptions to that rule. As I read out earlier, resolution on Palestine is not a problem. I do believe we should note that it is that 2014 is the year proclaimed by the UN, but the ACDP would obviously prefer it just to stop at that. D, we have no problem. E is a problem. F, we have no problem. G is a problem. And then that linking it to the DIRCO document that is expected, because we can link to that the concept of inclusive hearings, which will take us away from the idea that the Solidarity Conference was very narrow, because there people will be able to interrogate and interact with what comes up, which we suppose is going to be extremely positive in terms of reconstruction and development of Palestine.
Just a quick question to you. What is this DIRCO document you are referring to?
Okay.
Well, I think we have two different conceptions of what it is.
Okay, well, obviously, I'm going by memory of what I heard. The DIRCO representative at the Solidarity Conference
spoke about a document that would look at South Africa's role in the reconstruction and development of Palestine,
yes.
And that he was expecting that shortly that would actually come to Parliament. So that was what I heard, and I didn't write it down word for word, so and it will probably be on record. So I'm hoping you know more about that than I do.
No, because I have a different conception of what it is, you see. My understanding of what DIRCO is working on, they are working on a document in terms of dealing with the matter insofar as it relates to Palestinian reconciliation and unity. That is the primary focus of that thing. Now, it might have other elements that may relate to broader reconstruction and development, but essentially it is about the reconciliation that is intra-Palestinian. You know, the Hamas, Fatah, those issues. The internal, yes. Basically, our government has decided to play an active role in the intra-Palestinian conflict to bring together the parties, you know, and help foster, you know, reconciliation and so on. So that is what I know about, you know, what DIRCO is doing around this particular issue. That is why I've been trying to listen, you know, when you are referring to this document coming from DIRCO. And we have two different conceptions of what it is. So, now, I think, honorable members, I want us to conclude now, right? I want us to conclude. And I don't think we are that far apart. There are some issues that some of you might not agree with. And some issues that some of you agree with, at least most, I think, of the issues you agree with. Now, personally, I think the point you made, perhaps around rephrasing the first line, is something, this is me, I'm not speaking on behalf of the ANC, I think Professor Maya Tula is in a better position to speak on behalf of the ANC on this particular matter. But your point that the brought together a wider section, a wide section of our population, including Warawara, and then you went further to say primarily in support or supporting Palestine. That's what you said. Now, personally, personally, remember, let me tell you why I would agree with the portion where you say primarily. Now, I don't think we should remove the wider section, because it is indeed a wider section. But why I would agree with it is because the parliamentary resolution says we should bring together a wide section of our population in support of the Palestinian cause. That's what the resolution says. So I'm saying, and this is me, I'm not speaking on behalf of the ANC. So if you say primarily, now it doesn't exclude the fact, and you could take it even further to say including, non-supporting, however you're going to couch it, to capture the fact that there were indeed other people who don't necessarily support the Palestinian cause who attended, and indeed, that even the invitation was, I can live with that. That's what I'm saying. So that's my own view. I think that could perhaps take us forward. And then the last issue that I think is worth commenting on, because this was raised a couple of times by the Honorable from the DA, of non-members chairing sessions. Now, again, you see, it's useful to familiarize yourself with legacy. Because we've had these kinds of events in the past, Honorable Member. Honorable Member, I want you to listen attentively, my chief. We've had these events in the past. We've had a symposium, amongst others. We've had, a round table in Pretoria. When was it? 2012, I think. And so on. So we've had events where sessions were chaired by non-members. But remember, this was not a committee meeting. Now you must distinguish, this was not a committee meeting. You see? So those sessions were moderated by various, I mean, they were moderated by various people. In fact, I mean, we had one other session on the role of South African companies abroad, with specific focus on the security sector. I think that was in 2012 or 11. We have sessions moderated by us, so that has never been an issue, because it's not a formal committee meeting, you know, where we take decisions as a committee of parliament in terms of what it is that we must do. So it's nothing new to us, and we've never had an issue with it, save now for the Palestinian issue. Lastly, you see, Baba, indeed, the question of those that, you see, the exception to this wording that you're referring to is the fact that even those that didn't like me attended. That's the exception, you see. So from a conceptual, you know, what you have conceptually and what practically happened are two different things. Lastly, honorable members, we must be careful not to want to exclude citizens on the basis of, you know, what you might think, you know, they could or could not contribute. Must be careful to do that. What we cannot do is to exclude somebody from a citizen of our country simply because that citizen may have been reprimanded by the Human Rights Commission at one point. And by the way, no session of the plenary was moderated by any other person other than members, by the way. No session. The only exception was the discussion groups, because what you needed there were people who were working in the field, who had the knowledge and information, you know, to facilitate debates. And that was their role as moderators, to facilitate debates around the issues at hand. And many of them, I mean, those that did very well, actually. And there is not a single instance of hate speech or, you know, that actually came out. And may I add that entire conference, and in fact, I laid down from the very basis the ground rules for that conference, and I cautioned against that kind of behavior. And I can say all participants in there, not a single one in, at least as far as we know, uttered hate speech against anybody, you know. In fact, to the contrary, many of them actually made the point over and over again that we should not act in a manner that creates the impression that we are anti-Jew. We are not. Many of them. So I'm just saying, I'm just giving you, especially for those of you who went there, to get a sense of, but it's fine, let's continue and let's finalize this process. Honorable members, Honorable Mohammed, you had the you presented the matter to us, to the committee. What are your thoughts on the proposed changes?
Comrade Chair, I just want to say that in terms of the second paragraph, the third paragraph, recalling that the conference brought together a wide section, I don't have no problems with the deletion of a wide section of the population. We could say religious groups, but I don't want us to bias only Palestine, because our mandate for the conference was Cuba and Western Sahara. So if you want to put the word Palestine, I would say then say Cuba and Western Sahara. But really speaking, I don't have a problem with taking a wide section of the population. If that makes the ACDP happy, it won't really make a substantive difference to us if we just delete that section. Other than that, we add Cuba and Western Sahara as well, and not stick to Palestine, because that wasn't our mandate. Our mandate was
All three.
So what will it then? What will it then read? Will it say supporting Ethiopia, Western Sahara, and Palestine?
Recalling that the conference brought together all religious labor.
No, not all.
Okay, religious labor, civil society groupings, lobby, political research, and knowledge institutions and individuals, with regard to issues concerning Cuba, Western Sahara, and Palestine, with regard to the issues, because that's really what was our intention of getting the people discussing this. We don't want to isolate one country, because that's not our that was not our mandate.
Okay. All right. Is that acceptable?
To take this process forward, I think we should now consolidate this recommendations, because there seems to be a fair consensus with regard to this recommendation that we have on our table in front of us.
Okay. I just want to check, are we okay with that? Okay, that's fine.
Primarily in solidarity with Palestine, because then it goes in line with the wording of the actual conference.
Primarily in solidarity with, and then we list those three countries. ANC Whip, are you happy with that? Can you live with
that?
Thank you so much. Okay. Now, all right. So that's out of the way. Can I think at this point, ask you for a proposal to, with the changes effected, to endorse the proposed recommendations? Well, you made the proposal.
Okay, before we do that, let's discuss E now, about the current...
Okay, I'm sorry, some of us are supposed to be in another meeting now.
Yes.
People are still going to start discussing something.
I thought we've discussed all those issues, and there was an indication already from all the people. So what I'm saying is, shall we get an indication? Perhaps let's start with, shall we get a proposal for the adoption of the recommendations with the effected changes? Well, the ANC doesn't agree with that. ENG is mobilize all sectors and continue to intensify solidarity efforts. Those are, by the way, you want them removed, honourable member. They are part of the House resolution.
Yeah. No, they're the ones that the DA forms that
the ACD didn't. Yes. Okay, the DA supported them, the ACDP didn't. So let's get, do we have at least sufficient consensus in this meeting?
Yes, we have. No, you are not
IFP, Honorable Dudley. No, you are not IFP. You can't speak on behalf of the IFP. Yeah, I'm not going to entertain long discussions.
We have to lodge our dissent with the proposals, proposals on the table.
Okay.
We feel that it lacks balance. Thank you.
Okay, the DA doesn't agree with it. ACDP doesn't agree with it. They are saying they are disowning all the proposals. They are saying there's no balance according to them. ANC, can I assume that you agree?
Yes.
Those were your proposals. Anyway, ACDP is clear. IFP?
I don't understand now. I'm totally confused now.
Okay.
I want you to put me before I get lost. What are we talking about now? I told Chairperson there was a proposal of amendment and so on and so forth. Yeah. And then you explained that. What are we saying now?
What we are saying now? There was the amendment with regard to the conference and the hosting and so on, that has been settled. There is some compromise text, right, that we've agreed on. Now, as for the rest of the recommendations, the recommendations, the proposal is that they be accepted. save for those where those changes have been made. The DA is saying no, they don't agree with it. ACDP is also saying the same. So what is IFP saying?
I would put myself in a neutral position, Chairperson, because I don't understand really. I'm in an awkward position to say yes or no.
Okay. Well, what is that? Is that abstention?
Yes.
Okay, the IFP abstains.
I would like now to propose the recommendation.
Okay, there's a proposal that you accept. Do you want us to take it to a vote? Procedural info, what do we do?
Alright.
Okay, that's fine. Look, I've just procedural advice here. The indication is that there is no consensus, so we must take it to a vote. Alright. This is a sad day, I must say.
Just a procedural question. As an alternate member, does one have a vote in the committee? I'm not sure.
As an alternate member, you do, on behalf of your party at least. Well, there are two questions. I don't know, ANC, how you want to do this thing. Need to get clarity. Because ACDP that has proposed an amendment now is not going to support the resolution. So will you revert to the new version or your old version?
We'll keep the old version.
In this case, keep the old version.
Because you don't support.
Okay. Is it clear, honourable members?
I would rather we just accept what because we had accepted that proposal.
Okay.
Let's accept that proposal.
Okay.
And vote on this one.
Are you okay with that, honourable Mahmoud? Are you okay with that?
Well, it's the chief of
okay, that's fine. So you are okay with it. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, there is one question really in front of us: whether the proposals with the amendments effected or proposed by Honourable Dudley should be accepted. Is the question clear? Is the question clear, honourable members? Okay. The question before us is whether the recommendations as amended, the recommendations of the ANC, the proposal of the ANC as amended by Honorable Dudley, whether that should be agreed to. Is that clear? Okay. I don't want to proceed if we don't understand, if there's somebody who doesn't understand, and I'm not going to open a discussion. All I'm saying is, the question in front of us are the proposals of the ANC with regard to the recommendations. Now, an amendment has been proposed by the ACDP and accepted. So that proposal with the amendment is the question that must be agreed to or not. So all those in favor of agreeing to the proposal of the ANC as amended by Honorable Dudley should please raise your hand. Including myself. I'm a member, I must vote. Okay. Are you done?
Yes.
Counted. Okay. Now, it's fine, honorable. All those not in favor, please raise your hand. Three. Okay, that's three. And there's any abstentions?
One from.
Did I see a hand? It's the hand of the interpreter. Okay. So there is an abstention. Luba, give us the outcome of that vote. Okay. The outcome is ANC 7 in favor of the proposal with the amendment, and then against is 3. Eh? No, two DA. And one ACD. So it's three.
Yes.
And
one
ACD. Absolutely. We don't vote according to parties. We vote according to members. And then it's two DA and one ACDP against three, and then one abstention from the ISP. Honorable members, thank you so much. Yes.
I want to thank you, and I want to thank the committee for actually going the extra mile in trying to get consensus and accommodate all of the various views, and we actually do appreciate the efforts that were made.
No, thank you so much. Honorable members, the meeting is adjourned. Others have to rush, or let's allow those who want to, because it's if you have to rush, it's fine. Let's quickly, there's nothing that requires a decision. You wanted to say something?
I would like to appreciate the group of the one. Yeah, next week we'll do that. Honorable.